Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. Have some new friends and some old friends here tonight. A very good friend of mine, Rob Evanoff, is back again. He's brought in another artist. That's fascinating, and just going through all the music, I just have to say I was really impressed. Some great guitar work in it. But I have two guests here tonight. The main person we're going to be talking about is Johnny Chops. Yeah. And he's a singer-songwriter, guitarist, but he's probably most famous for being a bass player. And what's the group again?
I play bass with the Randy Rogers Band.
Randy Rogers Band. And he's been doing that for quite a while.
So. About 15 years.
Wow. That's great. And but anyway, he's a singer-songwriter guitarist in his own right, and we're going to take a look at some of his stuff. And also with me, who's been on the show a couple of times, is Carlos Calvo, who is now playing guitar for these new gigs with Johnny. And we're going to talk a little bit about him realizing the parts, because he wasn't there at the original albums, and he's going to have to recreate a lot of the stuff. And I'm telling you right now, we'll play a clip in a minute. There's a lot of guitar work on these albums, right?
Yeah, but that's, you know, the bonus is that Johnny pays so well and he's so good looking, you know, for the radio audience. So that's really what it's about for me.
Well,
let's be honest, working musician. Yeah. Right. It's good to see you, Jeff. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's awesome to have you back. Anyway, before I play the first clip, let's just talk a little bit, Johnny, about your background, your influences, you know, how you got into guitar, and also, too, a little bit of the influence of bass on your playing and songwriting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I started playing when I was about 16. My uncle gave me a beat-up old, I think it was a Japanese acoustic dreadnought. It was called Nagoya. It was just a cheap guitar, kind of like a Martin, looked like a D28 a little bit, but the very, very cheap version. And it had this really amazing case that his brother, who, if I remember correctly, I was pretty young, but I guess his brother was some kind of a schizophrenic artist, and he had done all this really wild artwork on the case of the guitar, and I think it really captured my attention, and he kind of knew it. So he said, you could take that one. That was the first guitar I ever had, and I immediately was drawn to it. You know, everything else was you know, on the back seat. Like,
now I have to ask you, do you still have it?
Unfortunately not. I have the case.
Oh, okay.
The case survived. The guitar I played until it fell apart. I mean, the bridge came out and the glue all came out from behind it, and unfortunately it did not survive.
Well, that's interesting. When did you start playing bass?
I started playing bass not too long after that. I was drawn to it. I don't know if it was the music I was listening to at the time, I was really into punk rock when I was in high school, and I always thought there was some really cool sort of bass-driven licks and that type of music. I was also, at the same time, a big Pink Floyd fan.
Yeah,
and Floyd. So, I mean, you can't talk about Pink Floyd without talking about bass because it's Roger Waters, right? So was always a big fan of that stuff, too. And so I was drawn to that just as another way to express myself, I think. And it helped me get a lot more gigs, to be perfectly honest, too. Because let's face it, we all want to be guitar players. Nobody ever wants to take the back seat and be the bass player. But I found myself picking up a lot more work that way. So it was practical in some reasons.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Well, let me go ahead and play a clip. I'm going to play, there's two albums I want to mention, too. The newest one is called Johnny Chops and the Razors. But I'm going to hold off for a second before I play something from there. I want to play ones from your earlier album, Sticks and Stones, the title clip. Because we're going to talk a little bit. He opens up with acoustic guitar, and it's just the beautiful, most beautiful sounding guitar, which, if I'm correct, he has in the studio right now. So let me play Sticks and Stones, and we'll talk about that and talk a little bit about your sound, and we'll talk a little bit about the gear that you use, too. So here's Sticks and Stones. You're going to have fun on this gig. Now, there's some cool things. I mean, you do that opening guitar part. And then when the section comes in and everybody's playing, somebody's doubling you. Is that you?
Yes.
That is what were you? Were you using a different guitar?
Yes, that's an electric. I think that is a guitar that I got. It's called a Mondial.
Mondial?
It's made by a company called Italia. It's like a fiberglass, semi-hollow body, sort of inexpensive, interesting, weird guitar that I
picked up. Like, there's this one doing the finger picking thing, he's using a pick, but he's picking and it doubles and it interacts. It kind of phases a little bit. It's really cool. And then at the very end where it was fading out, there's another guitar doing something and it's slowly phase shifted.
Yeah, I think it's actually a phase shift pedal.
But which guitar was that?
I think that's a Les Paul. I believe.
Now, did you do all these extra parts?
Not all of them. I mapped quite a few of them out, kind of in demos, just doing tracks. I think I actually did them in GarageBand. So I had a pretty good idea of how I wanted the build to happen and the layers to happen. I have a guy who plays on a lot of my studio stuff. His name is Eric Borash. Everybody calls him Ebo. And he is an architect of guitar sounds. He's a really, really amazing guy and a great player. And
the obvious question, does he use an Ebo ever?
Yeah, he does, actually. There is the actual Ebo.
Sorry, I cannot resist.
Of course, absolutely.
Do you remember what he was using on those electric guitar parts when he's doing that?
I know that he has a, I want to say that the Les Paul he used is one of those black 57s. It's a really sweet one, man.
57. And then what amps were you guys using?
We used one of his. Actually, he builds some amplifiers that may have been on there. They're called Evo Customs. Mm-hmm. And they're really, really nice boutique tube amplifiers that you should actually check out. They're really, 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 really sweet.
Well, it's a great, great, great sound. And then the main guitar is this guitar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is my Gibson Hummingbird Pro.
Hummingbird. And how old is that?
It's not really old. It's about 6 years old, seven maybe.
Wow. Because mm-hmm. It sounds pretty broken in, that tone. What strings are you using?
Today I'm using some DR, they're called Dragon Skin coated strings. And I've just actually been trying these for the last couple of weeks. I picked them up actually at Folk Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
They had a booth there. And I love DR bass strings. I'm a
they're
huge
awesome
fan of
strings.
Yeah.
You use really, DR on your basses?
Yeah, Sunbeams all the way.
What bass? Well, we might as well ask mm-hmm. it now. What basses do you use?
Mostly a Fender guy. I play a Reggie Hamilton signature bass. It's got a few little bells and whistles on it that I like.
Is it a P or jazz type?
It's a I guess you call it like a hybrid. It's got a J pickup at the bridge and a P bass pickup at the neck.
Oh, okay.
And you can pan back and forth, and it's also got some EQ, and it's got a little hip shot too.
Rosewood neck?
Yeah.
Rosewood neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so but do you remember what you're using on that session? Were you using any special strings or?
Because
it has an interesting sound to it.
I have a feeling on that for a long, long time, my main acoustic string was John Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 12 gauge, which is like kind of a medium light. And they have
fancy.
The phosphor bronze ones. Mm-hmm. They have a really nice to me, like a good warm kind of wooden-y sort of tone.
They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I really like those strings a lot. But I don't know if they're just not making them or they're harder to find. I seem to have a tougher time finding those strings lately. So mm-hmm. I've been trying out the DRs.
I'm going to play another clip. This is called You Keep Your Own Time, which, again, opens with this acoustic guitar. And then we'll get into the electrics because you have a lot of – I mean, and then also, too, I want to talk a little bit more about how you were able to squeeze that many guitars in a track and still make it clear because that's a lot of guitars.
Yeah. I mean –
Okay, let me go ahead and play this one. This is a really interesting song, but take a listen. This is You Keep Your Own Time, and it opens again, the same type of thing with the acoustic guitar, but listen to the tone of this guitar. And if I'm correct, it's this guitar, right? So here we mm-hmm.
Watching the sun turn red and slip away, bringing the curtain down on another day. I was hoping that this one might give me another clue, point me the right way, get me closer to. No sign. Clouds blowing by. This stretch of road, I got it memorized. Been walking it up and down, hoping that I'll see something to tell me where you might be.
So again, that acoustic guitar is just to die for.
Thank you.
That's
thank
a
you.
Great sound.
Is it thank a baritone you. That comes in? Or just a tuned down?
I think he's tuned so down. Yeah.
Has
yeah,
a Barry vibe to it. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Now, what is he using there? Because he's using the tremolo or vibrola.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a Fender?
I think it's a Telecaster.
Telecaster, but what amp?
Oh, man, I wish I knew. It's probably, I don't know if it's a Fender. We only had one Fender amp on that session, and I remember it was kind of on the fritz.
Oh, okay. Like but, kept, I mean, was that a box that did the tremolo?
I think so.
That's a great that's a great sound. There's some interesting. Now, let's talk a little bit about that the layering there. Now, is he doing all the electric guitar parts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm doing all the acoustic.
So you have that low guitar with the tremolo, and then there's that other guitar on the other channel that's doing some
very high, like
kind of a little dirty, chimey, but I mean it's got a little grit to it, and he's doing that, and that's I presume that sounds Telly to me.
I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. Now,
from what I remember,
when you were putting the song together and writing it, you like you said on the other song, you had done a demo and you had put so you knew what you wanted on there in terms of the layers and how many guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Same situation with this song?
For the most part, I definitely wanted to have the stacked strummy acoustic things. I think I want to say we doubled it twice, so it's one capoed up pretty high to do that strummy thing, and then same thing down lower. And I think we did it.
Same guitar?
So four tracks.
Yeah. Same guitar.
Okay, so you... Oh, that's an interesting thing to capo it up.
I love that. I love doing that with acoustics, where you're playing the same key, but you capo. Like if you're playing G in standard, you capo fret 5 and play in D, and it just sounds... You get those high chimey things, and they...
Yeah, I do it in stereo too. It sounds really
interesting. It's interesting.
A wall of stuff.
What it reminds me a lot is it's a similar sound to the Nashville tuning where you have another guitar with the octave up, and it gets that kind of
tinkly effect. Yeah,
same type of effect. Very, very cool. And then, how were you able to get? I know it's part of it is probably Ebo's just his taste in guitar playing.
He's
but I mean to get all of that huge of a sound, because there's a lot of stuff going on by the time you hit that chorus.
It's a lot of compression, for sure in the mix, and the acoustics definitely got a good amount of
I heard that
of throttle on it.
Yeah.
You know, from keeping it from blowing everything out, but good mics and a little bit of reverb just to give it some room.
Yeah, no, it's not too wet. It's a really nice live sound. It has a really interesting. Now, were you recording in a smaller studio type mic, or did you open? Did you have a room where you could open it up?
I think the acoustic parts were in a really small ISO booth. It was, in fact, the studio we recorded that is no longer there, unfortunately. It's called Yellow Dog Studios in Austin. The studio still exists, but they've moved out to Wimberley. They're on like a big farm now. It's actually a great studio. Like if you're a band looking for somewhere to live for a couple of weeks and do a record, that's kind of their whole MO. But anyway, it was a great little funky small place right on Congress there in Austin.
Because it's interesting, especially listening to these guitars in this studio, which isn't, it's like a box, so it's not really for recording like that. But it's really nice to, these guitars sound really good opened up, you know, in a room. You know, both of your Martin and his Gibson, it really does. I'm just, at some point you gotta go in a really nice room and just pull those mics about 3 feet back and just enjoy. You know, but the guitar sounds good even close up. It's really, it fits perfect. I mean, it's not too boomy. It's on the brighter side,
which is really pretty. Sounded more like a pencil style mic.
I think it's a little condenser or something.
AKG 160 or something condenser rather than a vocal condenser. It has that nice succinct brightness.
I think we had one up higher, like right about here or close above the 12th fret, and then another one down there.
Cool.
Yeah, so you have to be careful not to get too excited when you're strumming. <on
this. laughs> That's a general rule of thumb for me. Careful not to get too excited.
Except for that other guitar. We'll talk about that in a minute that he brought in. I'm going to go ahead and play a clip from the newer album. This is called Believer, and there's slide guitar in here, some acoustic guitar, but I like that the distortion sounds are real, what I call like a grunge sound. It's really intense. And the reason I'm playing this also, too, just to give a feel of some of the newer stuff, but also this is what Carlos is going to have to do on stage. So I'm curious to see how he approaches it. So let me play this clip. This is Believer, and check this out. And who's playing slide?
That's me, actually.
That's you on slide. Yes, awesome. Yes. Okay, here we go. Here's Believer.
Hound dog barking midnight.
Don't open up your door. Death may come a knocking, you never know for sure. Keep a candle burning and pray the devil troubles you no more. I've always been a believer, 'cause I could read the signs, and the Lord brings favors, oh, to fools with sight. It takes more than eyes to see a believer through the night.
That's absolutely filthy, and
filthy.
I love it.
That's it's the just word like it's just so nasty.
Great slide work. Great slide work.
Thank you
work.
Very much.
Great
thank
Johnny.
You. Now, what were you using on that?
So the guitar on that is a mid-60s True Tone. They were made by Kay.
Yeah.
And it's close. A big hollow body with just one pickup in it.
Yeah, it's close to the neck, right?
Yeah, real sound. Close to the neck. And it's like a almost, I don't want to say cardboard, but it's not even like real wood, I don't think. It was like a cheap mail order guitar.
It's like IKEA guitar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Particle board.
I love IKEA, by the way. That's actually a shout out. IKEA. Hoping to get that cabinet artist deal.
Now, how did you get that distortion?
A couple of different things. The amp, we used two different amps for that guitar, and it's one of two because we switched back and forth. One of them is one of my favorite amps. It's a 57 Deluxe, and it's got parts in it. I got it online, but from a guy, and it does have parts. It's a little bit Frankensteined. It's like 57, 58, and 59 parts, but all mostly original. And that thing is just a little, I think it's like a 12-inch speaker.
Mm-hmm. It's a tweed 15, one, right?
The tweed, yeah, a little
tweed.
It's the Neil Young amp. Yeah. That's the one he uses.
And then we also had Ebo brought down a 49 Valco, which is like, I think it's like a 10-inch speaker. It's a little bitty thing. And that thing was filthy. I mean, we almost had to like put like black tape over it. This is filthy.
It's nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. It's just, it's an entry. That gets really thick, but it works. Now, who's doing the other guitars in there?
That's Ebo.
He's doing all the other.
Yeah, and I think he's actually playing through Magnetone on that one.
Magnetone?
Yeah, with that kind of warbly.
Neil Young uses that one too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Magnetone. Big, great big heavy.
Love those.
That amp is so heavy, man. Yeah. Sounding and lifting.
Yes. It's the new 212 one is insane.
You need they're great amps. There was a big crowd over there at NAMM when they were at this last NAMM show. Now, how listening to that arrangement, I mean, obviously there's a lot of guitars in there, so... I want to get into your head a little bit, Carlos, about how you're going to approach it. How
I'm
do you going to
bring a ukulele?
There you go.
Just take it a different direction. it's heavy. It's awesome. You know, it's going to be a fun challenge. I think Johnny and I will be playing for the very first time right here on the show.
Yeah,
together. So that's great. I love his stuff. His stuff is awesome. Mm-hmm. I have serious Americana envy as a guitar player. Because it doesn't happen to be the style that I play in, but I just love playing it, and I love the kind of bluesy aspect to it, and those nasty elements that you can bring, more so than even country, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be quite as squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely a country influence, but there's a lot more. Your punk and bluesy thing is definitely in there. It's different than most what I've seen or listened to.
Johnny's going to be playing acoustic guitar Thursday. I guess you're going to have to come to the show on Thursday and find out what we do. But
mystery.
But, he's going to be playing acoustic guitar, so we're going to try to ride that balance, get it be tasteful. But
well, that one started. I actually wrote that on a resonator.
Yeah, it sounds it, and it's a good drop D.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to use a resonator for the slide?
I'm going to play it on this one actually. Oh, okay. So the resonator hates to be amplified. I've tried all these different ways to get that thing plugged into something, and every time I think I've done three or four different setups on it, and that thing just rebels against amplification. It does not want it to happen.
It's a truly acoustic instrument.
Yes, yes.
Now, on that cut, too, did you do any distortion on the bass?
There is a little bit. In fact, it's actually doubled, so the main bass track is an upright.
Okay.
But on that bridge part where it does the walk down and he kind of does, he doubled that with an electric, and I think he's got like a fuzz pedal or something on
it.
The who bass is playing player, bass?
His name is Aiden Bubeck. He's one of my all-time favorite bass players. Not only he's an amazing guy, he plays a three-string bass. For
whoa.
Half of the time. It's just a custom deal. And he's so tough that he doesn't even use a G string. He just need E, A, and D. That's it.
He doesn't need it.
Doesn't need it.
That's cool. That good.
And but yeah, it did sound like there's some really low distortion. It's, mm-hmm. You can hear it beat a little bit.
And were you in drop D guitar wise as well?
Yeah, open D actually.
Open D. Yeah.
Open D, okay. So. Well, listen, let's have you guys play something.
Holy moly.
Sure. And
put you on the spot.
Sure, you bet.
Debut.
So this is a debut. This is going to be the first time you've heard these guys play together.
Look at that. Where else could you get that?
Only here. Rob delivers.
Yeah, look at there.
Yeah. Nothing could go wrong.
Rock on wood. Yeah.
Before intro-ish, right?
Yeah, we'll do 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
I had to let it ring out. It's just that's that tone. I just couldn't say anything. It wasn't dead air, everybody. I just had to let him ring it out. Oh, that's a great song. Great,
thank you
great
very
stuff.
Much.
Great, great.
Thank you.
Now let's see. Are you going to be using the Martin?
No.
What are you going to use acoustically live on the show?
I'm not. I'm going to play electric.
You're playing all electric. Well, you brought in a guitar that
I did.
You have to tell us about this guy.
Yeah, I'm not like a guitar collector, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have like closets full. I have what I need. And I hadn't purchased an electric guitar since 1989, I realized.
Wow.
Just because I have, just for stuff I need, I'm mostly a Strat player. And I still love playing Strat, but I kind of needed something in between Strat and Les Paul. And I was looking at some stuff with P90s. And I ended up going with TV Jones pickups, which are these Gretsch guitars. So I bought a Gretsch. You know, to be honest with you, this is hilarious. Gretsch has all these crazy numbers. I think it's a 6121.
Yeah,
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's just cool.
It's their solid body one, double cutaway.
It is.
That's how I look at it.
Oh yeah,
but it's chambered.
Yes,
which is really cool. So I'm going to tap up. You'll hear this little.
Yeah,
part,
you can hear it.
You'll hear the solid part. So this is what's going to supply, you know.
So that's got the TV Jones Filtertrons.
Yeah. I love these pickups.
So they're a little less; they're not as gainy as the humbuckers, but
they're gainy.
They're definitely
they're
hotter
good.
Than a single coil.
You know what cool thing this guitar has? It has a kill switch.
Yeah, the Gretsch.
Love that. That's so. As long as you remember, you have one.
I have a.
Why isn't this?
I have a Nashville that has that. That's great.
So great. So, I'm totally in love. I'm having a great time playing this guitar, and it's really versatile. It's going to work great for Johnny stuff, I think.
There's some really cool things on there I want to point out. One of the things is, besides the kill switch, over there, the knob that's on the cutaway over...
this is a master.
That's volume. A master volume, and then you have on and off switches
this
for each
the
of the...
pickup selector switch.
Yeah.
And this one does some weird thing to each setting. Kind of like... A little
probably some type of resistor or something to change
so
a tone.
Kind of tweaks, makes one a little darker, one a little funkier and mid-rangey. And these are two individual, a volume and a tone, I think.
Yeah.
Down here. So, and I'm definitely not a gold hardware person. It's a pretty blingy guitar, but I don't know. It only comes in gold. This guitar only comes in gold hardware. So
it works, man.
Like, it looks even a little more blingy on the
and
sense.
It,
that looks like an ebony.
At least it's black on the side.
it looks like it has an ebony neck.
It does have an ebony fingerboard, yes.
Yeah, fingerboard. And then
I'm not even used to having guitars with binding on the neck, you know, so I'm feeling very fancy these days.
And
advanced age, you know,
yes.
You got to treat yourself, man.
It's part of the midlife crisis. You have to bling out a little bit.
I'm way past the middle of that, the middle part. So.
Yeah. No, that's a beautiful guitar.
Zero fret. Was that for a throwback?
Yeah. The Gretches have that.
Yeah. So it's cool. So we're gonna fire it up. We're going Gretsch and Gibson for Johnny's set. I think
sweet,
it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I like it.
Sound sweet. No, that setup, the way they have with the master volume and the pickup selector and stuff was... similar to how to get the same effect of the Fender Jazzmaster, where you can set up a rhythm sound and you can set up a lead sound,
right?
So you could switch and you're right there, you know,
right?
Where you're not playing around with the volume all the time, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's a really versatile setup,
agreed. And it rides that middle, that other, you know, I was looking at a Collings, speaking of Austin,
oh, man.
Beautiful
those
guitars,
are amazing.
I love them. Mm-hmm. And wish I could have gotten both. And the P90s were just, because I'm doing a little more session work these days, so I needed quiet pickups. The P90s just have that nice vintagey thing, but they're a little noisy, but they sound ridiculous.
Yes.
They're amazing. You know, I think they use Lawler P90s in those mm-hmm. Collings. They're insane. It was really hard to choose. Those were the two guitars I was kind of going back and forth.
No, I think you made a good choice on this.
I'm really happy with it.
You'll find the Filtertrons are pretty versatile.
They're so versatile.
It's a different sound, but it's really cool.
Yeah, I play... my two main amps are like an old like Fender Tweed Deluxe, and I have a Vox AC-15 hand-wired. They're very different mm-hmm. amps, so it's interesting to hear what comes out. You know, the guitar definitely responds differently to both of those
Well, yeah, no, the Gretsch with the Vox is a very was a big sound. I mean, a lot of the early British stuff that
definitely.
Was,
I mean,
and the twanginess of the Vox amp, it works really well with that guitar.
Yeah,
but also too with the Deluxe and that so you got warm. The Neil Young sound. So
yeah, it's nice.
It, when you blow it so out, it'll get that blowout. So.
We'll see. You'll have to see. You'll have to come on Thursday.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, the how are you going to approach the with? Are you going to you were talking a little bit before the show. We were talking about that big that sound that he's getting, that type of distinctive distortion.
Right.
How are you going to approach that? Are you going to approach that with pedals, or are you going to approach that with the amp?
I'm both.
Okay.
Both. I like stacking overdrive. You know, rather than just having one massive distortion. You know, one of those like Jekyll and Hyde pedals or something. Yeah. You know, I like kind of having a good amount of overdrive on the amp already, and then I have this MXR kind of vintagey one knob thing that adds a really nice amount of overdrive, and then this love pedal that I'll probably stack on top of that. So sometimes stacking those overdrives keeps it still at a reasonable volume, and the tone is still pretty much the original tone of the amp. You can have it pretty transparent, and I think it'll sound great because we've got to leave room for that acoustic. That acoustic part's really cool, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
I like how rhythmically driven Johnny's songs are like that. You can tell how he just sat down and came up with that riff, you know? Yeah. You just hear the origin riff that, and it, you know, you got to respect that. Now, respect the riff, Jeff.
Yes, respect the riff. Is that guitar set up with, does that have a pickup in it?
Yes, it's got a, I think it's a, is it a Bags? I think it's a Bags.
Is it just the, under the bridge, or is it the dual system?
No, it's just the one under the bridge.
Under the bridge, okay. Because I don't see the little control
thing. Little thing.
It's got a little, it's got a
the little volume thing
on and off there, right there. So that kind
of. Those are great.
Now, let me ask you one thing about stacking.
Yeah.
So let's say that you're using two distortions. So would you put the love in front of the MXR or vice versa?
The other way.
Okay. And then the MXR, is that cranked or low and it's then the other one's higher?
Gentle. Loving.
Nice.
And then what about the love pedal? Then you
could kind of figure out if you need any more, you can adjust. I would adjust the second one and kind of go, you know, the
so
first
you're
one.
Gently pushing the love pedal from the MXR.
Yeah, and giving it a little more of a, you know, a heated up signal.
Yeah. Maybe, you know? No, it's interesting because when we, you know, in our early days when we were just experimenting around, we took like five fuzz tones
right.
and put them in to just see what it'd
it
do.
Just
and
sounds
it just,
insane.
It just canceled.
Yep.
It just started phasing.
And,
like
get, and it gets smaller. At some point, the sound just starts getting small, which is hilarious.
Right.
It's like, what are you talking about? It's supposed to be Godzilla. It's actually the Geico.
Yeah. And that's that's the thing is using two distortion pedals, stacking them.
Yeah, you gotta be
it's
careful.
A tricky thing. It is. It's an interesting situation. What I want to do before, I want to have you guys play another song. But what I'm going to do real quick, I just want to mention that Carlos has a new single coming out.
Yeah.
And so you get an idea where he's coming from and his background, because he's done a lot of arranging and producing besides playing guitar as a session person. But let me play that clip. It's tell me a little bit about this a dozen years from now.
Yeah, the show's about to take a serious left turn right now. We're just rocking out nice bluesy stuff now.
Well, we're going to go back to that. So.
Yes, I hope so. Because we're about to go into very sensitive singer-songwriter. You know I'm a very sensitive man, Jeff. So this is a very sensitive singer-songwriter longing what could have been song, you know? Just a weepy...
Okay, but
it's great. I'm
approach
really proud
arrangement.
Of it, actually. Actually, written on acoustic as well, but I wanted the softest of strumming on it, so to contrast verse chorus. So I'm just strumming with this very side of my thumb. Back and forth. I came up with this chord. There's this chord, man. I just played here. I mean, this is, listen to this chord. Come on. How could you not?
That's sensitive.
That's some sensitive stuff, right? So I just kind of started strumming that very softly. It's for you folks following along at home, it's an F major 7 with the third in the bass. F major 7 over A.
That's amazing. That's a great sound. But that, yeah. Now, so, you used the Martin on that?
I used two guitars, two acoustics. I used a Martin and I have a Bourgeois guitar.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Those are very nice. That's like the lifer acoustic. That one doesn't leave the house too often.
That's a sensitive guitar.
It's a very sensitive guitar.
Yes. Perfect for the song. Let me play the song. And we'll talk a little more about it.
I hope you dig it.
Here you go. A dozen years from now.
Who are you going to love a dozen years from now? Who are you going to love? Is it me you're thinking of a dozen years from now? Is it me you're thinking of? Will you become the greatest version of yourself? Or do you give the best you have to someone else?
Hey, there's some guitars stacked in there, too.
Well, what I was going to say is it's not that far from what Johnny's doing. Yeah. I mean, yes, there's a more edginess to some of the clips that I've heard, but there's mellow stuff. What I'm interested to see is as you guys play over the next few months, the influence of those chords and stuff, because that type of harmonic thing is going to be interesting. Because you know when you're playing, you're just going to throw things in there as he's comping around you.
Sure.
It's going to extend a little bit. I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I want to give a shout-out to my buddy Paul Smith, who mixed it for me. He's a Capitol Records engineer for, like, 7 years. His dad was Donald Smith, who was a Sound City guy and did, like, Petty and Keith Richards. Yeah.
It's a beautiful mix.
He's amazing, and my buddy Mark Slutsky played drums on it. These are the only two entities I've allowed on this track. But Mark Slutsky's amazing drummer. We did it at his studio, the drum tracks, and he's playing with Bauhaus right now. He's playing with Peter Murphy.
Awesome.
Crazy. I know. Awesome, get your old punk vibe.
Yeah, dude, I love it.
Yeah. No, he's great.
So. Now, what were you using on the electrics?
Strat and a Strat.
Different strats.
No, same strat.
Same strat. And then
different amps. No. Those two amps.
Just
I think
those
I mentioned,
two.
The Fender Deluxe, the Tweed, and the Blues Deluxe, and the Vox AC-15 hand wired.
Because he was getting that kind of gritty, twangy sound that you get on yours. So it's very similar.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of an interesting coincidence, so to speak.
It's just that we're both men of extremely excellent taste.
Absolutely.
Guitar wise. So
you're both sensitive. You're just very sensitive.
We both are very sensitive. He's more sensitive than his music sounds, believe me.
Well, what I'm going to do, because we're almost out of time, I'm going to go ahead and play another clip.
Nice.
And then I'm going to have you guys take us out, and I'll let you guys play a full song, if that's okay. Because since it's a debut, you might as well get a whole song in there. I was going to have them just play a segment. What I want to do is talk about, let's look at the newest album. I'm going to play... I'll let you choose. Because I wanted to talk about, show some of the guitar fills. There's some really tasty stuff, and I presume it's Ebo.
The tasty guitar stuff is probably Ebo. The chunky sort of sloppy rhythm stuff is usually.
So Medicine Clip or Taking a Chance on Me, which one do you think?
Oh, let's do Medicine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's play Medicine. Take a listen. This is from the Johnny Chops and the Razors album. It's a very, this very cool stuff here. And if I can find it, where did it go? Here it is. Here we go.
They did it with a quickness, killing with a smile. They didn't leave a witness for miles and miles. And it didn't take long till we all came down with the sickness. A taste and a whisper, an apple and a bite. Break one fever, sit another one light. And we shiver and shake and suffer a long dark night. If you don't take your medicine, you're gonna die for sure. This one now and that one later, it's a guaranteed cure. If you got the money, they could take the pain away. But the medicine just might lead you to your grave. Charms and spells, mercury in motion, gonna make you ill.
Sensitive.
That's very even sensitive. More sensitive.
Yeah.
Is that a real Hammond?
That is a real Hammond.
Yeah, that's yeah. Just nothing it's like nice the real deal. Mm-hmm. So those, all of those, there's like a dirty bright. All the guitars doing a dunk a dunk. Type of thing. Is that you or is that
the
him?
The chunky thing in the background is me. It's a Telecaster and a Vox. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure. Yeah, we did
just
that.
Cranked up.
Yeah, really loud. Like it hurt.
Yeah,
it was kind of painful for that one. We did that one in post when we did overdubs. We added that one later. But it needed something to kind of cut. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cut a little bit more because it was already pretty heavy at the bottom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No. I mean, that was interesting. And the album, for the most part, has that edge to it. There's just some great songs in there.
Thank you.
And that one is... The Johnny Chops and the Razors is out. Both of these are out now. And then the other one, the earlier one, is Sticks and Stones.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, correct.
So I want to mention real quick, we're almost close to... And I want to give you guys enough time to play a whole song. Thursday, April 5th. At the Universal Bar and Grill on Lancashire, if I'm correct, is where you guys is the debut playing, right?
Yes. Well, it's our gig, yeah. Yes.
Well, actually, today was the debut, so you guys are veterans now. It's no big deal.
Thanks for the rehearsal.
Yes.
Yeah, appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for, sensitive rehearsal space, right. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I wanted to mention that. And then also, too, Carlos, when is your single coming out?
The next day, Friday, we're going to be releasing the single. It's on all the platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, CarlosCalvo.com, and we're going to release a live video as well that we did over at Bugera. The good folks over at Behringer and Bugera helped me shoot a couple videos over there. They've been awesome. I've been working a little bit with some content with them, and it's been great. So we have some little media coming out, a couple interviews, hopefully you'll grab a listen to the song. I'm really proud of it.
It's a beautiful song. CarlosCalvo.com is the information there. And then JohnnyChopsMusic.com for
yes,
all.
Sir.
Now, both of you guys, I don't mean to put the screws to you, but when can we expect a new album from both of you?
Johnny, why don't you take this one? This is a new album for you, though,
this
right?
One's very new. This just came out in March.
So this is new?
So I would guess a
couple
years.
Oh, March,
years.
Well... Yeah, yeah, you have a year.
Pretty,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm putting the screws to you guys. You guys have put out.
But I'm glad you asked because I actually haven't been writing because I've been so busy getting this record out. But I think starting the later part of this month, I'm going to start writing again. So
Well, it's going to be interesting because he's definitely going to be an influence.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you now, those chords.
He'll be under the influence. Yes.
Under the influence, yes. No, it's just, it's going to be an interest. I mean, this is a great pairing of musicianship here. I think it's going to be a really good one.
We're excited about it.
And I'm not letting you off the hook. You have one song.
I have a single, man.
You got nine left to do.
It's very 2018. You know, who makes albums anymore? Right. My album is new also. It came out in 2015. For me, that's incredibly that's incredibly new.
I know you've been busy, and it's just been crazy.
I'm excited for this release, and I've got a couple more that I'm looking forward to putting out as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look forward to it. And both of you guys, you're always, as I said, we just scratched the surface here. It goes by really fast. You're always welcome to come back and hang. And when you have your next album, your next efforts done, let's take a look at them, and I'll go in there and tear it apart and make you tell me all your secrets.
Perfect.
You know, so anyway, I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show. And Rob, thank you so much for introducing me to, it's a pleasure to have you guys here.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks. Now, what are you guys going to take us out with?
I shot a video for this next song that we are just finishing up the editing on. And that's going to be coming out real soon. So I thought we would play it. It's called 10 Cent Talkers.
10 Cent Talkers. Everybody have a great night. We'll see you next week. And here we go.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
There's two kinds of weather down Texas way. Heat of the night and the heat of the day. Two kind of stories in every song. Either love goes right or love goes wrong. Winners and losers, paths and walkers, blind faith jumpers and 10 cent talkers. Angles, pitches, reasons and lies. Out of your mouth like machine gun fire. When did the loudest voice in the room make more sense than a simple truth? They both go together like fire and water. Gold miners and 10 cent talkers. Doing gets them dirty, but in labor there is grace for every dozen slow and steady walkers. There's 1,000 fast as lightning, 10 cent talkers. One man's quiet, one man's loud. One man's humble and one man's proud. I've been both, you know I can't lie. I got my faults, but I still try. Gonna shut my mouth and just start walking. Someday quit my 10 cent talking. Knowing and doing ain't always the same. Idle hands are easy to keep clean. Doing gets them dirty, but in labor there is grace for every dozen slow and steady walkers. There's 1,000 fast as lightning, 10 cent talkers. Let's talk. Yeah. idle hands are easy to keep clean. Doing gets them dirty, but in labor there is grace for every dozen slow and steady walkers. There's a thousand fast as lightning, ten cent talkers.